listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us today for Get Yourself the Job. I am Jennifer K. Hill, and you are joining myself and my dear friend and co-host, Brandon Maslin, for another 360-degree look, not just at getting the job, but at finding one's purpose, which isn't that why we're all here? So this show, we're very fortunate to have sponsors, the people over at Markham Search LLC, who brings you the show every week. They provide professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including payroll, temporary, contingency search. And so we do ask that you keep them in mind for any of your potential recruitment needs. Now, today, as we dive into the show, we're really exploring this month, looking at different aspects of what it takes to keep and land your dream job. And today we're going to focus a little bit more on purpose as we dive into the imposter syndrome. Last week we had Johnny join us and talk about something that was really incredible. He shared his experience of having sat in thousands of interviews and what he personally saw firsthand. I know I've referred that show to many people already because it's very, very valuable. And so today, I wanted to have Brandon start by talking a little bit about this idea of imposter syndrome. So Brandon, I'm going to hand it over to you, my friend.
Thank you, Jennifer. So imposter syndrome, first and foremost, it's important to get the definition out, as you know I like to do. And that's a persistent inability to believe that one's success is deserved or has been legitimately achieved as a result of one's own effort or skills. So again, I'm going to say that again, the persistent inability to believe that one's success is deserved. And so what I like to say is, how great is that? That what that tells us, that imposter syndrome is directly correlated to the success that you're having. It's great that that's the truth, but the problem is, in reality, that what happens is people then start self-sabotaging in interviews, it's certainly in comp, but also going for the big job. Whatever that is, asking for promotion, asking for raises, it shows over and over again, studies have shown that there is a cost, thousands of dollars, plus a detriment emotionally, plus a detriment in one's career. So the issue of imposter syndrome, ironically, is it doesn't always start early on. It a lot of times gets louder the further you go in your career. The more success you find, the worse it gets. And so it's important to recognize that imposter syndrome is a direct correlation to one's success. So I'm going to start there. What are your thoughts on that, Jennifer?
You know, I think that I agree and I disagree. I'm going to play devil's advocate with you for a moment here. Because I think, unfortunately, sometimes in life, people can be such good imposters that, imposter a good employee or a good person for a job and not be the right job, which I think is different. And I want to delineate that from imposter syndrome. So what I mean
I think those are two separate things, Jennifer. Those are two separate things. Yeah.
It just occurred to me as we were talking about that. Because on the one hand, I was thinking of the clients I worked with over the years and somebody who's an imposter and shows up and razzle dazzled. However, actually, I'm hearing this intuitively, Brandon, so I'm going to share it, is that there is imposter syndrome, which can cause us to not be our real self at an interview, which also could have us land the job or not land the job. It's a very convoluted thing. As I'm wrapping my head around this, as I'm speaking about it, is when you have imposter syndrome, you don't feel like you're good enough, which is essentially what you were just saying. And I feel like sometimes when we have imposter syndrome, and I'm just speaking for myself, which is the only person I can speak for, is that we overdo it. I know for me, early in my career, I definitely struggled with imposter syndrome. I remember being 22 years old, maybe 21, and sitting in one of the largest law firms' offices with the head of HR in the top of one of the highest buildings in Los Angeles. And I was literally shaking in my oversized suit, my 22-year-old self, and trying to figure out, why am I even here? How can they even take me seriously? I'm 22 years old. So in that instance, I had imposter syndrome And the flip side of that, when I was that age and when I was personally struggling with imposter syndrome, what I did is I overcompensated. So whatever potentially good attribute that maybe somebody had ever said I had, I personally inflated it because I didn't feel comfortable. So that's when I think of imposter syndrome, there's two sides to it. It's like overinflating because you're trying to prove something. And then on the flip side, there's like feeling like an imposter where you actually are really good at what you do. So I hope that wasn't too convoluted.
That's fine. So the studies have shown, and I'm about to do a big presentation on this. So I've been elbow deep and I'm almost tempted just to put the screen up of the whole deck because this is what I've been studying for, most of my life, but certainly in my career, but recently. And so there's two things to point out, what you point out, which is this overcompensation. That is actually the most detrimental for managers. So what managers do when they have the imposter syndrome is they default to either their greatest strength or so often their greatest weakness. And so they're trying to cover their tracks, they're trying to pretend, they're trying to hide. And so if you really want to find a completely toxic manager, if you ever work for someone like this, a lot of times they have the loudest imposter syndrome. And the way they mask it is an overinflated sense of confidence, an overinflated, aren't I great? Aren't I the best? You all don't know what you're doing or whatever it is. And so what studies have shown is that it's particularly detrimental of what you're talking about for managers. For employees, for people who aren't in a leadership role, it's a little different. So one of the issues that I find, even at the highest levels though, is that you're not gonna put your name in the arena. Four people are up for a job and you're gonna pull yourself out before you even put your name in. That is number one. And that's bared out by a great study, Hewlett-Packard, I think, did. I don't know if it's exactly HP, but the study showed that 60% of men had to be 60% certain they could do a job before they put their hat in the ring. And women had to be around 100. And so the delta margin of 40% is huge. And you're missing out on a huge amount of people. And so that's one of the biggest issues. People aren't even throwing their hats in the ring. Now, once they get in the ring, what I've seen in my work, time and time again, one of the things I work on with clients is the way they interview. And the way they interview when the imposter syndrome is the loudest is they, before the person can start pointing out their weaknesses, they do it for them. They say, yeah, I know I'm not great over here. Or I know I'm not good over here. Or I don't have the best strength over here. They're literally becoming their own worst enemy. Now that does not mean you shouldn't be honest about what your limitations are, but you don't have to voluntarily go, here's everything that makes me bad. And that is what I see a lot of times in the interviews. So, Jennifer, you've done a ton of interview prep. You've placed thousands upon thousands of people in jobs. What do you see as an effect of the imposter syndrome, that feeling that you don't belong, that you're not good enough on the interviewee?
Yeah, it's really beautiful when you get down to it, when you've been doing this as long as you or I or any experts in the field have. That's where I love to see that. I kind of love to play with that. For example, if I was interviewing someone and I could sense that they had that imposter syndrome, I love to get people talking about what it is that they love in life. And this has been one of my ways that I've coached job seekers over the years to counter that imposter syndrome. You know, we might freeze up like a deer in the headlights. We might stumble over our words if we feel like we're trying to prove ourselves. And I remember very specifically, I was interviewing a job seeker, high-level candidate many years ago going in for an interview, and the person just was really tense and just trying to, you know, they just didn't feel like they were adequate, and they were brilliant. They were so good. You could see from their resume and from the conversations when it wasn't an interview situation, they just lit up and were so intelligent and well-spoken. And so I said, okay, let's just pause for a moment. And let's just tell me about something you love. And I think it was scuba diving. So I get this person to start talking about scuba diving and their whole demeanor changed. They went, instead of being the terrified person of trying to prove something and trying to say the right thing, to just being a person who is sitting around having a conversation. So I would encourage anybody out there, if you're going through this, and I'm a human being, you guys, when I started doing interviews with Deepak Chopra and Don Hoffman, it's like, who am I? I've never hosted a TV show in my life, let alone with one of the top thought leaders in the world. So I still deal with this from time to time myself. And then I'm like, you know what? It doesn't matter. You're a person. I'm a person. Everyone's just a person. And we're all just trying to do the best that we can. And so the more that we connect to our own humanity and the humanity in others, the deeper and the more authentic the connection is going to be. And I say that, Brandon, because when we do these things, when we start talking about it, you can even tie in and start to talk about things that you love and maybe even make a list of the things you love about the type of work or your purpose or what it is you do. And when we talk about what we love, our whole being shifts. And I remember I was in a class with Alison Armstrong many years ago, and she talked about, in particular, how when a man hears a woman talking about something that she loves, his testosterone level shoots up, which creates a win-win for everybody. So as human beings, the more that we can authentically share the things that we love, the things that light us up, from scuba to animals, and just find ways to get in that comfort zone and to imagine that you're talking to your best friend about scuba diving rather than trying to land the C-suite executive job that you've always wanted, that then shifts the whole context of the interview.
Yes. I think that's a wonderful concept. I'm going to challenge you just a little bit, which is if you switch the scuba diving in the middle of your interview or wine or whatever else you love, and you're interviewing for fill in the blank, accounting, finance, tech, they'll be like, cool, but I have 30 minutes to talk to you, and you just switch gears to scuba diving. I feel you, Jennifer. I really do. I have a solve. And I just saw a client of mine do this brilliantly, which is, the solve is whatever the scuba diving, wine, movies, whatever that is, within your work context. So what I mean by that is, right, and Jennifer's giving me the thumbs up, which means she agrees, and we're back in our alignment, or we're not, doesn't matter, we're always having some fun. I think the thumbs up comes from, it's whatever that is for you in the job. And we all have parts of our jobs we love that light us up, that organically, I think it's what really Jennifer's saying, and it's so true, is that it's organically elicits excitement within you. And to Jennifer's point, I think it's brilliant. When you are excited, it is very hard for the listener not to get excited too. When you're bored, it's very hard for the listener not to get bored. And when you're scared, it's very hard for the listener not to want to comfort you, but also not to sort of go, but you know, not for this role, right? And so you want to be aware. So to Jennifer's point, whatever scuba diving is for you. Now, what does that look like? That looks like this. If you're in law and you love being in the courtroom, talk about being in the courtroom. If you hate doing briefs, I wouldn't spend your interview talking about brief writing. The same thing goes for marketing. If you love ideation and the big ideas and coming up with brands, great. If you hate the, you know, product placement or whatever it might be, don't talk about that. And that is the secret success in interviews. It's not that complicated, y'all. I mean, people who get the great job talk about things that elicit excitement in the interviewer, and the interviewer gets excited and you future trip together. If, again, I'm going to say this because I've said it 100 times, don't tell people just what you've done. Tell them what you're going to do for them next. And what Jennifer's suggesting here is the thing that you are excited about is probably a thing you want to do for others next. So I think that's a beautiful point, Jennifer. And I think it is key. So I see you. So what do you think? I want to point out one other thing. I want to ask you, what else is the cost that you've seen when someone feels that they don't belong or they're not good enough for whatever role they have or whatever they're interviewing for?
Well, the cost is lack of vitality, lack of happiness, lack of ability to land the job, let alone be successful in the job. I think that imposter syndrome is something that we don't talk about often enough, number one. So I'm so grateful that you suggested this as a show topic when we were talking offline, because I think it is something that the more we talk about it, the more we realize we are not alone. And the more you can humanize the fact that we go through it, the less daunting it becomes. Instead of it becoming this huge cliff that you have to scale and climb to the top of, it just becomes this little itty bitty like pile of sand that you just hop over. And I don't know where that analogy just came from. It just came to me in the moment. I say that though, because I think it's important that we understand there is a cost and impact. There's a cost and impact on us when we're suffering from imposter syndrome. There's a cost and an impact on others. And I know we spent a lot of the month of August of this year focusing on the idea of emotional intelligence. And many of the wonderful guests we had on, Dr. Paul White, Dr. Mark Golston, they all were sharing the importance of compassion. Compassion for yourself and compassion for others. So for me, when I saw somebody was, you know, perhaps struggling with imposter syndrome, like I was mentioning earlier in an interview, the idea, if you're a manager, if you're a leader listening to this, is not to cut them off, you know, at the knees and say, you suck, you're being an imposter, you're, you know, overinflated. It's to be compassionate and to really get curious. Get curious if you are feeling like you're going through imposter syndrome, and get curious if somebody else is having that experience. Because when we add curiosity to it and a dash of compassion, that's where we're really going to be able to uproot that imposter syndrome and pull it out so it doesn't keep replanting in our garden over and over again, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's I love that compassion in ourselves. Certainly vulnerability. I think authenticity helps. The more authentic you are, the less you need to worry about your imposter. And what, as I've said many times, what being authentic means is you are willing to stand in your core values and be strong in those beliefs and be willing to accept that if someone doesn't vibe or gel with those, they're not going to like you. And if you're interviewing for a job or trying to get a promotion or a raise, and you are so authentically you that you have someone has a very negative reaction, congratulations. You just found an organization that you should not be a part of. That is a good thing, not a bad thing. And I think that's where you were saying earlier when we started this conversation, where we can almost pretend to be something else that we're not, and we contort and we shift, and that does happen, right? And the more authentic you are, the more you're geeked out in scuba, as Jennifer says, but, you know, as whatever the thing is, right? We'll use scuba as a metaphor in our shows from now on. But whatever the thing is, the less you have to worry. You just have to be aware of the reaction. Now, I've talked about this many times, and I'm a big fan of it. I don't think imposter syndrome is something that you can get out of entirely by yourself. You're fighting yourself. You're at war with yourself. You need a mediator. You do, because you're strong. You've developed these tools for a lifetime. You are better at tricking yourself than anyone in the world. You're better at beating yourself up than anyone in the world ever will be. And now, granted, that some of that's traumatic pain from the past or bullies or fill in the blank, but outside resources, y'all. Ask the friends, do that power of three, find people. And one of the exercises we're going to do next week with this amazing organization is tell someone the false narrative you tell yourself. Say it out loud. I suck at, I'm bad at, I will never achieve because. Say it out loud. Then have them see in you something that is not true about the statement you just said. That's not true because I've seen you do this or that. Or this, have someone else rewrite your narrative for you. And then I know this is so geeky, but it works. Practice saying the new narrative. In the past, I've been challenged with what, you know, whatever it might be. Let's use lawyers, you know, with brief writing. But I have found a passion for writing in intellectual property law, the best briefs in the world, because that is what I love. Or whatever it might be. It doesn't matter to me. What matters is you find someone that can rewrite your false narrative for you, and then you have to say it. And if you can say it out loud, then you can say it in an interview. And it is so often that our greatest strengths are the things that we think are our greatest weaknesses. That is such a weird thing that happens. And why? Because the people who are the best in the world at doing something oftentimes suck at doing for themselves. The best marketers don't market themselves. I'm great at giving people confidence. I'm great about making myself insecure. everybody, this is universally true. Don't ask me why. I'm not a psychologist. It's just what I've witnessed. So reach out, seek out. Managers, here's my tips. Celebrate successes. Allow for mistakes. Share your own mistakes. God, you want to silence an imposter or someone else? Say, I've made the same mistake. Assess the company culture for inherent bias against marginalized groups, which I love to say, this affects you, but this is definitely not about you. And if you're in a position of power, sponsor, mentor, advocate, go to bat for someone. Here's why. The more you advocate and go to bat for someone else, the quicker your imposter goes away for you. It is very hard to be negative towards yourself when you're positive for someone else. Jennifer?
Such powerful wisdom, Brandon. I was just talking to somebody today who was explaining that his daughter really struggled because she wasn't able to go to college during the height of the pandemic last year and just really got in her own head and was really struggling and playing video games and self-deprecating behavior. And so funny enough, and this is a silly analogy, but it makes sense to me, is that they got her dog. And when she had to become accountable for a dog and get up and help and do something else, you can't sit around and feel sorry for yourself if you're accountable for someone else. And it completely transformed her life. And I would say that's similar for us. It's just what you said, Brandon, is when we struggle, when we're going through those hard times, don't sit around and self-loathe. Yes, give yourself a pity party, grab some popcorn and ice cream, whatever it is, and give yourself an hour or 10 minutes or a day or whatever it is you need. And then dust yourself off and go help someone. Go feed the dog, feed the kids, go give, you know, share your struggles with someone else. And that's how it is that we're going to push ourselves to get through.
Boom. Boom. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. That is such a great point. And that is the reality of what we're going through right now in COVID, right? You talked about what she's going through right now in COVID, and it is that comparison mindset. We are sitting alone, not as much now, but definitely for a year. And all you had was social media, emails, text. And it was ripe for going out and saying, that person's doing great here. This person's thriving. This no one was. No one was. We were all struggling. And the more you can honor your struggle, the more you can honor someone else's. So that's beautiful, Jennifer. And so I do love, this is a non-sequitur. We're going to go behind the scenes here. I said, for the first time ever, I think I'm going to share my screen. And Jennifer said, maybe we should practice it first. As we're having the show. And I just want to point this out. This is good for imposter syndrome. Because if I had done it and hadn't worked, I'd spend the rest of the day spiraling. And I don't have to now. And I know this sounds stupid, but I'm telling you, I'm going to use us as a real life example. If you practice something before you go into an interview or ask for the raise or do anything, mock interviewing works. Practicing works. You will silence your imposter if you've practiced it. There's a reason athletes are so good at what they do. It's because they practiced over and over and over. You're just seeing the end product of the shot, not the thousands of hours of practice that went into that shot. Also good for imposter syndrome. Last then, the higher you go, if your rates get higher, this happens in coaching, law, finance, all functions, you start charging more as you get older or it's more experienced. And remember this, you're not getting paid for your hour. You're getting paid for the 10,000 hours before that hour that made you great at what you do. Just love that. Can I give tips for conquering the imposter?
Please, I would love that.
Okay. So here's what we got, buddy. Focus on your strengths, not your weaknesses. I'm going to say one thing. This is such a deviation. I'm pausing and I'm going to come back. Ready? If I hadn't addressed your text, it would be renting space in my head. And I realize how often something bothers me that rents space in my head and so many other people's that we hold in. Someone offended us, something else. Let them know. Let somebody know or let someone that you didn't offend me, Jennifer, that's not the point. But the point is something's bothering us and we don't talk about it. It doesn't go away magically. It's still there until you talk about it. It's going to be there. Anyway, Jennifer, you're the best. That has nothing to do with you. I'm just saying I like getting things out in real time, even on a podcast, because it doesn't take up more energy. Okay. Other tips to conquer the imposter. Focus on your strengths, not your weaknesses. Be confident. Believe in your own natural and unique abilities. Avoid that comparison mindset that I just talked about. Do not look to your left or right. Look straight ahead and do that thing that you are doing, that you can do better than anyone. Realize that you are not alone, because you're not. Don't be afraid to fail. In fact, fail often, fail beautifully, fail miserably, but at least dare to fail, because that's where greatness lies. And I recommend highly, if anyone is struggling with this, and I know I have, Amy Cuddy's book, Presence, is a great resource. My favorite part of that book is that words matter, especially the ones that we say to ourselves. And one of the tricks I learned recently for this training I'm about to give is say your name out loud and then compliment yourself. So you say Brandon Maslin is a great podcast co-host, or Jennifer Hill is an inspiring, motivating guru of ideas, which she is. If you say your name, you attach your identity. I just love it. This is like the whole thing. It is such a cycle. This whole thing is a psychology, neuroscience, mind game. And the more you say specific things about yourself that are authentically true, it's not Stuart Smiley, as I said, you're smart, you're good, and people like you. It is, you are brilliant in this arena. You are an incredible connector of individuals. And in general, the people who work for you love you, or the people that you've worked with love you. Whatever it is, something very specific. The more detailed you can be, the more you silence the imposter. The less detailed, the less it feels like everyone, not you. Because I'll tell you this, imposter is telling you all those very unique, specific things that you're not good at. So you got to silence it by telling them all the great things that you are good at. Seems silly, works 1,000% of the time. Can't really do 1,000%, but I'm going big for these people. What do you think, Jennifer?
I'm laughing, Brandon, because I'm recalling there was a Kabbalah class. I love Kabbalah. For those of you who might have heard me mention it, one of my favorite podcasts I listen to is Weekly Energy Boost. And my Kabbalistic teacher, David Guillaume, one time was leading a class and I was mentoring it. And there was, in Kabbalah, they have this thing called Satan. Now, it's not to be confused with Satan or the devil, but it's kind of like that imposter, that like nagging voice that tells you, you suck, you're never going to get through it. And there was this one guy who was in class and he recorded a video of himself. So they give you all these tools to deal with your imposter, your Satan, that negative ego voice, whatever it is that tells you you suck and you're not worth it. And there's this video that this guy recorded of himself talking to that imposter. Oh, you almost got me right there. You almost got me. You told me I was shit and I'm never going to find the girlfriend I want and that I suck at my job, but I got you. And it was the funniest video that wound up going viral within the Kabbalah Center, because I share that the more that we can actually almost personify our imposter, the more that we can see that our imposter, it's not just a thing where it's not us. I'm not sitting here saying, I suck, I'm not good enough, I'm never going to land that dream job or find my purpose. When you begin to converse with it, when you begin to play with it, dance with whatever that ego imposter is, say, oh, really? What about that one time? Then it begins to become playful and fun rather than heavy. So play with your imposter. The next time your imposter says you're a jerk and you suck at your job and nobody's ever going to promote you, say, oh yeah, remember that time when I got that great review? Oh, Susie, my coworker just said how great I was. Begin to talk to it and play with it so you own it and it no longer owns you.
Boom. That's fantastic. And I think that's definitely the Jennifer Hill theme of the day, I noticed. It's that, like, the more levity, the more excitement, the more at ease you can be with something, the more fun you're going to have. Like, life is serious. This stuff is serious. It has real world serious impacts. And I love, Jennifer, that you're hitting on just, let's not take ourselves. It really is, right? Imposter syndrome is, you're taking yourself way too fucking seriously. You know, I know Jennifer's on a roll when she's cursing. She never curses. So I know she's passionate about, which I like.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even realize.
Yeah, you curse, dude. I like to bring it. Oh man, I'm here for it. The East Coast for me is cheering. I went to a training in Chicago. It's such a non-sequitur. I did a training in Chicago, and they said, Brandon, we're in the Midwest. We don't curse as much, and we notice you curse a lot. And I kept on trying to tell my jokes, and I just weren't landing. And I finally was like, these are a lot funnier when I can curse. But anyway, it's non-sequitur, or sequitur, as my friends always say. So I think the only thing I'm going to give, because why not? We'll do mini training for our folks today. Here is going to be my call to action for next week, and I'm going to make it for our audience. Ready? Three things. We love threes here. Find a friend or colleague that needs support and give it. Say your name out loud and what your greatest strength is. Do the power three exercise or just seek support on what you do best to help others thrive in all arenas. And just as a reminder, real quick, power three is you ask three people, family member, colleague, and a friend, not the frenemy, friend who's someone who's happy for your success, a frenemy, someone who's not. And you say, how have I helped you? I'm gonna make it so simple. How have I helped you? Period. Hard stop. However you help people in your personal life and at your work is what you do better than anyone in the world. And if you can honor that, you will never have an imposter, because your imposter will say, you don't do this. And your truth will say, but I do these other things so well that it doesn't effing matter. And I can get better at that, but I'm always going to be great at this. So, yeah.
I love that.
That was it. I don't know. That's kind of my mic drop for the day.
Yeah, no, that was perfect. I think it's great, because I love it when we give takeaways. It's nice to have actionable items. So we're not going to be mad if you fast forward to the end of the podcast to see if us or our guests have actionable items. Go for it. We're not going to hate on you. So thank you so much. Thanks, Brandon. Thank you to each of you tuning in. Hopefully we're a little bit more clear on who and what our imposter might be. And now we have permission to evict them and say, get the heck out of Dodge. There is not space for you in this residence anymore. So that's my invitation to each of you out there, is kick your imposter out. Give them an eviction notice. Give them 5 days, 24 hours. Say, you're getting out of here and you are not existing in the same space as me anymore. Because that's it, you know, we got to play with it, we got to have fun, and we got to kick our imposter's ass. Yep, I said it. I've cursed twice now in the same show.
I mean, come on, you know, effing ass, then we would have been somewhere. I'm not going to give you, I'm giving you like a B on that one. You know, next, we'll get better on the cursing. No, I'm kidding. We try not to curse in the show. The last thing I will say is this. That's assuming that you know you have the imposter. Mm. That's so often that you don't know that it's renting space, that you don't recognize it's there. You get so good as you go further in your life at ignoring it, or just saying, you know, not realizing that you're sabotaging yourself in very micro ways. And once again, the people who love you the most are pretty good at knowing it. But I think this is just one more reason to be aware that this is continual work. And the better you feel, you know, this is one thing that I found was when I was coming out of my deepest, darkest depression, I spent one day and I was miserable. And I realized that I had gotten so good at being miserable that I didn't know what it was to be happy anymore. And I just was so used to not just feeling terrible. That was great. The point is, it's a journey. It's a lifelong journey, and it's a worthy one. And if you're struggling, that means it's worth it. So I just want to honor that. Explore it, even if you think you got it. You know, it's tricky. It comes back. But the people who are there to help you are the friends, of which Jennifer Hill was one of mine. So thank you, friend, because I think you've helped silence my imposter over the years.
You definitely helped mine. I'm not going to lie. Mine actually came up during the show. As we're talking about, I was like, you know, that little voice was just like, oh, you didn't do that. Oh, you haven't launched your new company yet. Oh, you're not going to do it. You haven't done it yet. And it was just interesting that being here and talking with you guys, with you out there and Brandon live, helped me to see it. And I was literally about ready, like halfway through the show, I wanted to crawl under the table and just start sucking my thumb and just be like, I suck. I'm out. I shouldn't be hosting this show. I was like, do you think they'd notice if I just kind of hid under the table for the rest
of the show? Totally. No, where's Jennifer? She's just hiding under the table. So it's normal. This is what she does every show. No, it would be totally absurd. But I think that what's not absurd is how honest you're being, which I love. That's how quick it is, right? It just creeps in, and it's sort of like, and it's, but I do love what you said. Your imposter does something to you. You're out there a lot. Your imposter makes you want to hide, in your case, right? That's how it affects you. I think that's, hey, look, we're using it for good here. You got to be aware of how your imposter affects you, and yours is interesting. Yours makes you want to hide. Interesting.
Okay.
I have never you want to hide. If you ever want to feel like you want to hide, that tells you that it's your imposter at work, not who you are. Because who you are is putting out good in the world and trying to help people and fronting, building companies and doing all the things that you will do. So if you ever feel like you want to hide, let's acknowledge that you're imposter. There you go.
Oh my God. I love that so much, Brandon. The call I had right before this was with my business partner, and our dream, our vision is to bring energy medicine to the world. For those of you who might not know, I host shows on Awake TV Network. I love using energy medicine practitioners, which is people who can treat you remotely. And we always say we want it to be like taking aspirin so that, you know, in 5 or 10 years time, you know, getting energy healing work from home is going to be like taking aspirin. So I tell my business partner this, and I love her. She's my soulmate business partner. I was like, Moon, I'm visualizing, you know, we both want to manifest this. We want to help millions of people. I see us both on the cover of Time Magazine with, like, you know, a little pill in our hand, except instead of it being aspirin, it says energy medicine. And Moon laughed and she's like, Jen, oh my God, that's so you. Of course, your design is that you need to be recognized. And we're all designed differently. And I so love that you just pointed that out, Brandon, is to understand how you are designed. And when you're not that, when you're going against your design, in my case, wanting to hide under the table and suck my thumb, then you just want to laugh and go, oh, you almost got me there, and then redirect. So it really means so much to me that you picked up on that, Brandon. Thank you.
Yeah. Sister from another mister, what can I tell you? I see you, Jennifer, and I think you are out there for the world. And I think that if you're wanting to hide, then it is an indication, right? And I think it's just, for anyone who's listening, I want them to be aware of that, right? I want them to be aware of what is happening for them, where they want this big thing. They want to do the Time Magazine for them or whatever it is for these individuals, right? And I want them to think about what is the reaction they're having to it, right? I tend just not to do anything. That's mine. If I'm not doing anything or I'm defending myself, those are my imposters. And because I was a bullied kid, that can quickly go to anger, which I've worked a long time on that. Except for traffic, I still get angry at traffic. But I think that recognizing where these things happen, because here's the last thing before we wrap. It's not going to stop at your house door. If you've been in a company for 20 years and you're now talking to your CEO for the job, it's going to show up in that interview. It will. It's when it's probably going to show up the most. And so the more you're recognizing before you walk into those rooms, how you sabotage or how your imposter tries to hold you back, the less likely it is to happen in those very, very important things. Or you can get aware of what just happened in this meeting that made me want to retreat in Jennifer's case, or hide in Jennifer's case, in my case, just be silent and do nothing. What happened? And the more you get aware of that, the more you can kind of saying, no, that's, I know what you're trying to do, but that's not what's happening. So, all right. I think they have enough.
I don't know. Yeah, I think we pour the cup over. So you are overflowing with ways to not just tackle your imposter, but just kick their ass straight out of the room. So, you know, play with it. Notice what you do when you get there. Thank you, Brandon. That was brilliant. And thank you to each of you out there. It was just so great to have you here with us and to see this journey. It's like we're both transforming right before you and to be on this journey with you. So thank you so much. And if you want to rewatch the show and, you know, watch me try to crawl under the table metaphorically, you can find the show on Facebook's LA Talk Radio page. You can also find it on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, a myriad of other places. We always love to hear your feedback from the show, as well as getyourselfthejob@gmail.com. And some of you may have heard me mention last week, or a couple weeks ago, I think I had shared, and we had Arthur as well, talk about the new program that we're launching. Speaking of commanding your destiny, I was privileged enough to work with Arthur Samuel Joseph, and you can definitely find out more about that program on how you can learn to command your destiny by going to vocalawareness.com/yes to find out about that new program that we're launching. So lots of love, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.